John Eric Sullivan was on Joe Rose today, and he said some interesting things that we're going to talk about. What is up, Dolphin fans? Welcome to another collective. Got a lot to talk about, O-line, positions, where they're going to line up, all that good stuff. But first, really quick, do want to shout out Prize Picks. Going to be a big sponsor for us. We appreciate the heck out of them. You play $5, you get $50 instantly when you use that promo code HMA. So yeah, John Eric Sullivan was on Joe Rose, and he had a bunch of stuff to say. One of the things he said that I thought was interesting is Proctor kind of hinted a little bit that he's going to be on that left side. So it seems like they will finally maybe put Jonah on the right side. Is that what we're hinting at? Or is Jonah still going to compete for that right guard spot? But it seems like it's going to be Patrick Paul, Proctor, Brewer, somebody, than Austin Jackson. Is that what you got from it as well, Omar?
He definitely specifically mentioned that he's going to start out at left guard. I'm curious to see if that's the position that he plays at rookie camp. Mm-hmm. Yes. He also mentioned that Jonah could move over to the right side. Everybody's going to cross train. And he mentioned that Caden Proctor can play all four positions. So I look at him as, yes, right now the plan is to have him pair up with Patrick Paul, create a mammoth left side of the offensive line, have Jonah compete with the rookie, DJ Cunning. I can't remember his name.
DJ Campbell?
DJ Campbell, yeah. It was C something. Jonah compete with him and then the free agent that they added, and then Austin Jackson stays at right tackle. But you always got to prepare yourself to play 7-8 deep. And it looks like, you know, the guy who would be playing the backup both tackle spots is Caden Proctor. So we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, it seems like that, you know, especially when they drafted him, that's what I had thought of when they took Proctor. Because, you know, you had Vega who was going to just be a guard. But then when you took Proctor, it seemed like I don't think they trust Austin Jackson really to play all 17 games.
The one thing that makes this troubling and perplexing to me is, and I get it, right now we're just trying to find some place for him to play, get his feet wet, get his bearings. Same thing happened to Laremy Tunsil. So we're just on the Tunsil program. Tunsil turned out just fine. My curiosity is, why not go with Vega if you were going to draft a guard? Or you just took the biggest, most athletic human being possible. And I just think that opens up to a lot of second guessing if you envision him being a guard for the future. I mean, that's one huge, massive guard.
How many guards around the NFL are 6'7" or more? Not many. And Tunsil was 1 year, and I think Tunsil was a better athlete coming out of Mississippi than Proctor was coming out of Alabama. And the actual quote from John Eric Sullivan on the Joe Rose show is he's going to start off at left guard. This is not necessarily that in practice, basically what he was talking about. It's not necessary. Then they're going to see. And my overall point, which I'm sure is going to have me like this in 3 seconds, is I love this idea of cross training, but if you have a stud at one spot, usually it doesn't need to cross train.
Patrick Paul.
I don't see Patrick Paul cross training at guard, and I don't see Aaron Brewer cross training at guard either. He's a center.
No, he started his career as a guard and then moved to center. So
I'm talking about cross training.
But
if you're a stud in one spot, you know this idea of having a whole bunch of guard tackles is fine for your backups. You'd like your frontline players to be like.
Austin Jackson also does not cross train. I hear what you're saying, and you make a very valid point, as you always do, Mr. Picard.
Whoa!
Yeah, man. The cross training, and we've been doing this a long time. We know most guys cross train. It is, you know, Jonah did not cross train though.
He should have. But then again, I'm talking frontline players, and Jonah.
Jonah should have, and we should have seen whether or not he was a better right guard or left guard. But you know, we are where we are.
The thing that made no sense to me with Jonah is like he's played on the right side in college. Why would you why'd you switch him to the left side? No, it's kind of weird to me.
I'm hoping he bounces back, man. Again, me and TD love that pick. TD, what's your thoughts on what Sully had to say, and you know, your thoughts on the offensive line lineup?
Yeah, I like the lineup. I think the cross training thing is a bunch of crap. I think the only person the only person's cross training like with significance is Proctor, because Proctor is the future. I think they want to try him at right tackle, but they have a guy who can hold it down for now. And it gives him an opportunity to crank up in the NFL and start to get his feet wet at the guard position, which many people feel like being that massive wall, you don't have to worry about getting beat on the edge. You get to actually settle into the NFL and play that position, which in my opinion is actually easier than playing tackle. Especially for a guy like that, you're wondering if he can sustain the length of a full game and keep that motor going. This gives him that easy path to ramp up into the NFL. And once they feel he's ready, I believe they'll move him to right tackle. But as long as Austin Jackson's playing well enough on the right side, he's going to stay there. But next year, that is Proctor's position, in my opinion, unless he's just so dominant at guard that they just feel like they got something really special on the left side and they'll go in the draft and get a tackle. But that's all this is. This is about making sure your number one overall pick for your team is brought into the league the proper way without making him look like a Chop Robinson in year one.
I would also like to point out this also gives you some insurance in case Patrick Paul, one, struggles, or two, exits your price range. Now, and the fact that he's going to stay on the left side, that just gives you, you know, the one thing that I will acknowledge and for who shall not be named is when you were going to be backed into a corner, you never got yourself a plan B. And you left yourself exposed. And now, because I believe Patrick Paul is a $100 million player. What's supposed you don't want to pay that? Especially when they don't know.
100 million?
Oh, yeah, I said 100 million.
Well, the 100 million at 5 years, 20 million each ain't crazy. But what kind of 100 million? You talking 140?
I mean, look at what offensive linemen are making now. Offensive linemen are making 100. Good ones are making 100 million.
But there's a difference between 100 and 140.
I'm not saying 140. I'm just saying we're at, if we do what we did last year, and entering our fourth year of our deal, we are paying Patrick Paul $100 million. He is going.
Is that a bad idea, though, if it's on the low end?
I don't know if it's going to be on the low end, because clearly Patrick Paul is probably not going to take, you know, the first deal offered. But, I mean, let's just – whether it's 100 or 140, let's just get it in our mind. We got to get prepared to pay $100 million.
If he takes another step forward. I mean, can I disagree with TD over here? I know this is shocking, but see, to me, it's like, again, because the Dolphins season in 2026 is about setting a foundation and setting the stage for 2027, I say get Caden Proctor immediately at his position where you're planning on playing him. If you're planning on playing him at guard the entirety of his career, then you should have taken Venga. If you're going to play, ideally move him to right tackle, why wouldn't you start him off there? Dolphins are now winning, logically not going to the playoffs in 2026. And this is different. Hold on one second. I know you're dying to say something. One last point. It's different from Tunsil in 2016 because they had a Pro Bowl guy at left tackle number one in Brandon Albert. And then number two, it's because the Dolphins had a right to expect that they could contend, which they did. The floor is not yours.
So now, in other words, what you're saying to me is they're not moving like they're just evaluating. They're moving like they're trying to win right now.
We haven't seen one snap yet.
If you're playing Proctor at left guard, to me, that's more about trying to win now as opposed to.
Thank you. That's the, can we stop this rebuild thing? I'm starting to feel this is not a rebuild. This is a retool, and they feel like they could put a solid team together this year.
Can I speak to TD, please? It's reality calling.
Oh my gosh. See, this is the difference. Y'all think it's just straight up rebuild, 4, 5, 6 wins. They think that they can put together a really good team this year, even though it's young, and compete.
I'm not saying it's rebuild. I'm not saying this is a contender. Can I watch them practice and play first?
Of course, but we can't give the pessimistic take and then just disregard the optimistic one.
Do you know who I am? I live in the pessimistic take.
Especially when you look at the mock drafts, the 2027 early mock drafts, and they have the Dolphins going first or second.
Look at those mock drafts is rank the quarterback situation for every team. Just rank the quarterback situation for every team. You'll see the best of the worst.
No, it's Super Bowl odds. They go by Super Bowl odds, and the Dolphins have like the third or second longest.
Them and the Cardinals are the last.
And they make some money, people.
Jacoby Brissett and Carson Beck are about to do it big for the Cardinals in terms of.
Are you leaving out Gardner Minshew? Are you leaving out Gardner Minshew?
Damn,
he's on the Cardinals.
Yeah.
To piggyback really quick off of what Omar said, you got Tristan Wirfs at 140, Andrew Thomas at 117, Rashawn Slater 114, Penei Sewell 112.
Some new guys just got deals too.
Christian Darrisaw won 104, Charles Cross 104, and Rayman 100. That's your top 104 seven. 104
over how many years? 5?
I just ranked value. Let me tell you contract length.
Look at the AAV average.
And not only that, but sometimes people exclude when a guy gets in it, and this bothers the crap out of me. When a guy and you could see this in what's the Buffalo running back's contract? James Cook's deal. Mm. People only mention the 4 year stop. Look at this guy.
I only talk guarantee money.
That's not what I'm saying.
Oh no, really? Okay, sorry.
People mention the extension and then they mention the totality of the deal.
Mm.
But they don't factor in. When you get an extension, it's not a 4-year, $50 million deal. It's a 5-year, $50 million deal.
Sometimes six. If it happened right after year 3.
When you count the money and the years, have to count the money and the years when the deals gets done. Same thing with Jalen Waddle. Jalen Waddle got a 4-year extension. It was a 5-year deal. Add the totality of what those deals are, and then it averages out to $19 million, not 24.
But the extension is tacked on to the final year. So the totality of the contract, but the extension itself technically was 4 for whatever.
Okay, who cares about the extension? We're talking about the totality of the deal.
You don't think
there's a huge difference between a 4-year, $104 million deal and a 5-year, $104 million deal. If the number doesn't change, just include what the extension is. And that's where the media does a piss poor job of reporting out contracts. It's horrendous. We very disappointed that, and we sometimes don't even check the contract. We just run with what the agent tells us. They're not accurate. And then when you get, the only person who actually does it is Mike Florio. Where he will write what the real contract is.
Omar, if we're gonna like scratch some dirt over here, also is some guys will get the news first if they report it how the agents want to report.
Of course, yeah. I mean, but you know that falls up, that we enter the Diana Taurasi era of.
Whoa, no, we're not going there.
People doing favors for people and people hooking up their boy and you know.
Who is Taurasi?
Not Diana Taurasi.
Diana
Taurasi is probably the greatest women's basketball player of all time.
Cheryl Miller.
Shout out to Russini.
Cheryl Miller. Oh, that's a good one.
Well, Patrick Paul, the problem is he's a second round pick, so he doesn't have that 5th year option, which on first round picks, you actually
he doesn't even get fourth year escalation money. You don't, your contract does not change when you're a second round pick, which it puts them, they get the worst contracts of everybody in the league.
Yeah, which means they need, after this season, they need to pay him.
Which is why Devon Achane, before he got the restructure, his contract jumped up from like 1.8 to 5 something because of that escalator.
Correct. Same thing happened to, and then Javon Holland did not get an escalator. But like, remember when Durham Smythe was making like twice the money as Mike Gesicki? Because one was a fourth round pick and one was a second round pick, and the escalator kicked in because Durham Smythe played more. I found that hilarious. So did they. But anyway.
Mike didn't.
Mike did not. Yes. Okay, so my bad. So did Durham. Mike did not find it
funny. And back to the offensive line, you know, I think the one interesting thing that he said, John Eric Sullivan said, was about, you know, obviously we bring up a lot of times Proctor's weight, and he says we feel good about where he is at and where he's going to be in the future. He said that he was heavy as a freshman and felt it and told him he's never going back. And you've seen, I'm hoping that this, you know, he starts to take it seriously because he's obviously in the NFL now. He's a first round pick and there's a lot more on the line. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he's going to, but I'm hoping that, you know, you're in the NFL now, you have bigger things to, you know, bigger things on your shoulder and all that stuff, that he takes it more seriously.
A lot better restaurants.
And for the record, he also was too heavy when he returned for his 2026 season at Alabama, at the 2025 season, sorry, at Alabama.
Yeah, but he never got back to like 400. So
no, but he was like 380, I think.
What are we confident at him playing at? Because I could tell you, and I've seen this firsthand, and this is why I don't draft heavy offensive linemen. Living your life on a diet your entire career, it is challenging. Mm. And yes, he's got a lot of muscle mass, but I watch, not that this is a great example, but you watch Solomon Kinley eat his way out the league. And then you also, you know, when they're battling depression, you know, some people eat. Okay, let's say you start struggling. You're not a rookie starter. What are you going to go to? It to comfort you. For some people, that go to is food. So he's going to have struggles. Now the question is he going to lean on food to soothe his emotions?
Also, not a lot of 350-pound guards in the NFL.
I think they will figure out. I think he will be able to get down to about 340, and I'm fine.
340 is in a dream world for the rest of his life on Ozempic, which I don't even know if you can take in the NFL. I got to look that up.
And I don't think he needs to take Ozempic to get there. I think he's around 352 right now.
352 in the best shape of his life.
That was his combine.
And 352, when they are going to combine training, that is the best shape of their lives they're ever going to be in, and no athlete ever gets back in that shape.
I'm going to train you, Omar. We're going to get that optimism in your blood. The best shape of his life so far.
Okay.
You're in the NFL now. 12 pounds, they can do it. Mm-hmm. They can do it.
They lose 12 pounds of practice, and then they put it back on, and then they put it back on at lunch table.
See, you making a suit.
I'm being real with Poupard. Am I telling a lie?
Has he ever practiced in the South Florida heat?
Practice in Alabama. Let's not pretend like Alabama's Alaska.
Seriously. It's a difference. It's still a difference.
Difference. I went to an OTA practice in New Orleans 1 year, which is kind of similar. It was just as bad as South Florida was. I mean, sorry. Come on.
Stop, Alan, man. Not consistently. We're talking about
the money.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
We're talking about the entire 3 month period before we kicking off.
Okay. But again, can we not pretend that Alabama is like Juneau, Alaska? I mean, seriously?
I mean, it does snow. Man.
It
does snow there, and the weather changes. Like, I'm sorry. We can't sit here and discount the fact that everybody in the NFL admits that teams wear down in the second half against the Dolphins because of the humidity and the heat and the Like, the league won't even give us 1 p.m. games in the early start of the season. Let's not pretend like that's not a real thing. Like, when's the last time the league gave Miami a steady slate of 1 p.m. September and October games?
Before the Bills cried about it. That's why.
Yeah.
OSHA.
Then they throw one of them overseas games in.
Biggest home field advantage in the NFL.
Huh? And
the biggest home field advantage in the NFL, and there's not a close second.
Nope.
Yeah, so don't act like it's like, oh, Alabama, it's comparable. No, it's not.
Dude, the home field advantage is because of the configuration of the stadium and the shade on one side, but then and the striking sun on the other.
Tough titty. Buffalo's gonna have the snow cleared on their side, and the other team is gonna get snowed on.
Okay, like, if that was the case, then that would be an unfair home field advantage. the Dolphins situation is not kind of like.
He also talked about the corners, and he talked about Chris Johnson. Playing little nickel. He's talked about Kyle Lewis also. Because you see, before we get to Chris Johnson, Kyle Lewis kind of doing a Simmons type situation where he plays safety linebacker type situation with Kyle Lewis?
That's what they said.
That's exactly what I was going to say. You can't play him like in the box. That's not, he doesn't have the size for that. That's what, when you drafted him immediately right there. And again, that they said that over the weekend, that's what he's going to be.
He's going to be. And then they also envision Moore as a weak side guy. Mm. So who they're going to train, weak side guy who can be a little bit of an edge, be a little bit of a situational blitzer, like an Andrew Van Ginkle. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. For me, you know, all of those guys, the number one thing I think this team is missing is an edge setter. Like, I don't see it. It's not on the roster. Safety. Unless, huh? Who?
Safety. Sheesh.
I think we're okay at safety.
You got bodies. You got options. Unless you're willing to say Chop Robinson is going to set the edge.
No, safety. Go ahead. Give me your options. Go ahead.
Dante Trader, Lonnie Johnson Jr. Michael Taft.
Wait, what? What was that name?
Rookie fifth round pick.
Michael Taft?
Second year fifth round pick who got limited playing time.
I don't know. Alan, I don't know if you've been on Twitter yesterday, but I had some people get my back on that Taft take.
Yeah. You got all the Texas after me. Taft boy. Listen, I root for him because when we talked to him, we in the media, we talked to him. I don't know if you guys checked that video out. You clearly see why people fall in love with him. He will be a future GM, future head coach, like that. They love the try hard, underachiever, you know, overachiever, you know, the guy who's scrappy and makes things happen. We had a safety like that from Michigan. Poupard will tell us the name right now.
Jordan, what was his last name? Kovacs, Jordan Kovacs.
Jordan Kovacs. And now he's a coach. Now he's a coach, I believe, in Cincinnati. NFL teams love those guys. They gravitate to them. Now the question is, can he play? Can he play, or will he be a turnstile as the back end of the secondary in terms of people running over him?
Yeah, I think he has talent. Again, young, raw. I think that they may lean on the veteran to start out, and Lonnie Johnson Jr. I just did a video on Lonnie Johnson Jr. It was intriguing to me when you guys were in the room interviewing him. His demeanor, you know, he kind of feels like he got snubbed in the NFL from a standpoint of politics. You know, he knew that he was better than some guys that were in front of him. But politics, when a team drafts a second rounder and they're like, we invested and we brought you in as a free agent, they're going to favor the second round draft
pick. He
was a second round pick himself.
Sometimes you get that one shot, and then you get that
and then
one
little
shot
sprinkled and then injuries
happen, or you're not prepared for that one shot. Like, you know, you and then sometimes you get two shots. and you might struggle. Like Cam Smith got his shot, and then he didn't look good in it. And, you know, that's what happens to you. And then you got to make a career as a special teamer. He's done that for 8 years. But just like I love when Sullivan called them minimum guys. And I'm like, thank you for acknowledging what we do and that you do it too. Yes. You built
and a lot of GMs won't use that term.
They will not. You built a whole squad of minimum guys, and props to you, because you were your back is against the wall as a team. And yeah, a lot of these guys are like Tutu Atwell doesn't deserve the minimum. Like I think he deserves more than that, but he's here on a minimum. So, but we'll see who can play and who can't.
I do want to cover that, but real quick though, what do you guys see your lineup at corner? Is Chris Johnson primarily going to play slot nickel, or is he going to be the outside guy? You know, I see it as him and Juju are your starters as long as Juju stays healthy. Where do you guys see the starting corners be?
Betting that Juju stays healthy is a losing proposition, and the Colts will tell us that, number one. But you're right. Juju's probably the most talented guy there in that room. I think Storm Duck is the other boundary guy, and I think they're going to have rookies. What's worked for the 18 years I've covered the NFLs is you give rookies put small food on their plate.
Mm.
And if they eat that food well, then you give them more.
Mm.
But they got to eat that food well first. And truthfully speaking, I can't name you anybody else who could play nickel on the team other than Chris Johnson right now.
Yeah, these veterans are going to start, and these rookies and these young players are going to get thrown in on occasion, seeing if they can handle it and then add on to their plate and take away some of the veterans, snap counts, and just hopefully it just keeps on going like this. So for the young guys to step in, I think they did a good job on these 1 year deals with these veterans where there's no guarantees. There's no commitment. Just come in, play solid football as a veteran so we don't bleed on defense. And let's bring these rookies along. And I think that's what they put it together. That's why I feel like the defense is not going to be great, but you can have a middle of the pack defense. And that's all you can ask for, in my opinion, with this personnel.
Chris Johnson's going to start at outside cornerback when they line up with four DBs opposite Storm Duck. We'll move some inside in the slot when they go nickel. I think don't sleep on Storm Duck. I think Storm Duck actually has got something. I think Brent's. I agree with Omar. I think Brent's maybe has a higher ceiling, but again, the fact that he can't stay healthy is just.
I agree with Poupard. Those two are probably the most talented and experienced guys. And the one thing that Halfley said during the press conference, and I think it was my question, is they like the guys that they have. Now that they've seen them a little, they see that there's something to work with. Some of those guys were injured. And I had to like literally add up and count up how many guys were injured. Okay. And so that means he's talking about Juju Brent. He's talking about Storm Duck. He's talking about Isaiah Johnson. And he's talking about which one is the safety that's going to Jordan Colbert. Those are the only guys he could be talking about.
Jason Maitre also missed last year with an Achilles.
He's still here?
Mm-hmm.
Shoot.
Yeah.
That's the kid I liked a lot in that first training camp when they had, they had the three UDFAs at cornerback. Was Isaiah Johnson, Storm Duck, and Jason Maitre. And I like Maitre.
Didn't he make the team as like a rookie camp tryout?
I don't. UDFA. He's very small though.
Real quick though, I do want to shout out the sponsor, Prize Picks. Fantastic daily fantasy app. Like I've talked about, I killed my draft weekend using them. Play five, you get 50 instantly. TD, you have anyone up in your lineup?
You better know it, baby. Listen, we've been talking about the futures in the NFL, and y'all need to go on and check that out because the Dolphins got some good lines on that. But right now, man, it's NBA playoff time. I've been on the NBA. Unfortunately, last night I didn't do so well because Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown couldn't finish the series. They sold on me. But, you know, I'm doubling back, baby. Brandon Ingram, 18 and a half or more. LeBron James, 23 and a half. Who been balling, man? Y'all saw that crazy game during the draft. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, they got to redeem me. And Jalen Brunson been doing his thing, trying to close that series out. If you want to get in on the action on Prize Picks, make sure that you play $5 so that you can take advantage of $50 instantly in lineups using code HMA. Okay, supporting our sponsors is supporting the channel. And I see a lot of y'all on Prize Picks too. Why don't you do us a favor at Dolphins Collective on X when you win? All right, we want to see that you, you're winning tickets at Dolphins Collective on X. We appreciate it.
There we go. So, yeah.
I'm definitely do wrong, baby.
Hey, yeah, girl. No.
You don't want to be me. now, anyway. So let's talk about the vision in the wide receiver room. Now, a lot of people, you know, are kind of down on the wide receiving room, thinking, you know, especially when I, you know, tweeted out, because both times, like I said, I looked at mocks and they have the Dolphins picking second or first. And I asked a question, right? I was like, do people think that the Dolphins are really going to be this bad? And a bunch of people are like, oh yeah, we have no wide receivers, this, this, and that. And I'm like, am I crazy to think that maybe we shouldn't sleep on Tutu Atwell and Jalen Tolbert, and maybe there is more talent there, and they just were pushed down on a roster with Pickens and with CeeDee Lamb and with Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams? Is there something there? And then plus, you know, we still have Malik Washington, who showed flashes, and Sullivan said he liked him. And then you got the rookies who you can incorporate. Is there still good wide receivers on this team, or are the people right and we don't really have anything? And, you know, Malik Willis is going to have to just throw to Devon Achane the whole game. Anyone take it? On your architect.
All right. I'll take it. listen, there's seven a guy
all,
who.
Seven all pros and wide receiver. Go ahead, TD.
Oh, man. Listen. We're going to trade him for firsts.
Yeah. There's a guy on this roster right now at the wide receiver position that everybody, it's not that they don't like the guy. They're just a little weirded out that he was drafted where he was. And that's Caleb Douglas. Mm. I'm going to stand out on a limb and say that man is going to stay on the field. Mm. That man is going to stay on the field. I believe that he's actually going to start this year and be the guy on the outside, literally consistently getting majority of the reps. I'll even go as far as to say he might get more playing time than any other receiver on this roster this season. That threat alone on the field, and that's why they prioritized him first, that height and that speed, it's going to require safety help. And if they don't play safety help, they're going to try him early and often to see if he can hold down his end of the bargain. And if he does, it transforms the entire offense with the run game, because safety has to stay committed to that deep threat. And that's a key person, I believe, in the offense of what they're trying to set up. When you listen to the coach's interview, when you guys interviewed him, one thing stood out to me. He said, we're going to run the ball. It's all about the physicality. But one thing that helps the run game is having that threat that you have to worry about. Team's going to test it early, but we're also going to test if he can hold down his end of the bargain. And if he can, this offense can open up like crazy. So the wide receiver room is going to fluctuate. Obviously, you got Jalen Tolbert. And Malik Washington, I think that's your three that's going to start. Those three guys, and Tutu Atwell will work his way with Jalen Tolbert back and forth. Yeah, I believe that's how it's going to work out, but we'll see.
Alan?
First off, I think based on the Dolphins investing a third-round pick in Will Kaczmarek, you're going to see an awful lot of two tight end sets. Especially, again, if they're going to try to emphasize a running game, I think you're going to see as much two tight end as you will, like three wide receiver, for example. I think Tolbert definitely will start. I think it's wide open on the other side. I do think that even before the draft, the Dolphins had serviceable wide receivers. What they didn't have was a high-end guy like they've had for the past 4 years with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. And of the three rookies, to me, Chris Bell's clearly the highest end of those, but who knows exactly when he's going to be able to be Chris Bell again. Go ahead.
I want to add to that. Whenever you say two tight end sets, that's going to be fluctuating in and out. And the reason why I'm so high on Caleb Douglas starting, because he is one of the best blocking wide receivers. His body size, everything. He is, and that was one of his comps in the draft, the fact that he is a superior blocker as a wide receiver, which is rare.
Tutu Atwell is the most accomplished flanker on the team. I don't even see why he wouldn't be the front runner. Jordan Cole, and you, somebody made a valid point that I think it was you, Doug. Colbert and Tutu, they played on two of the deepest wide receiver units in the NFL.
Mm.
And okay, these are guys who came here for the opportunity. To me, I've always said, and I learned this from Brian Hartline, you could have all the talent in the world. If you don't have the intelligence to pick up the playbook and run the right routes and make the right read adjustments and drop into your holes at the right depths and the right coverages, you're not going to play. So the smartest receiver plays.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know a lot of the rookies, but I do know Malik Washington is a very smart receiver. So I think anybody who's overlooking him, especially as an outside guy, because I don't think he's ideal in slot. I just, you saw it last year. Like, tell me the play he made last year in the slot. There wasn't any. The complaints all year were that receivers were running the wrong routes. Who were the receivers? Waddle and Malik Washington. So I'm curious to see how that plays out, especially in this offense. I actually think the kid that's going, the rookie receiver that's going to make the most impact is Kevin Coleman Jr. Like, it's when you watch his film, that slot spot is natural. And he reminds me of Devon Best so much in terms of how he creates separation and is so quarterback friendly. Like, you can count and expect separation from him. You can count on him making the right route adjustments based on the coverages that he's seen. This guy has only played slot his entire career, even though he says he can play other things. He's only played slot his entire career. He's learned four different offenses, showed you that he can learn four different offenses. I think he's probably, of all the rookies not named Proctor or Chris Johnson, he's going to have the biggest impact on the team.
Interesting.
Who else is a slot? Think about it.
Yeah, seriously. And then last thing before we get to the donations, post June 1st, we get some money, a little change. 20 million, right? So we'll have roughly around 22 million in cap space. But then, are you jumping on my toes? Are you about to say what I'm about to say? But then they have to pay the draft picks. So you're probably looking at like 12 million in cap space.
We should be able to look that up already.
Effective cap space for the rookie class, I believe, came in at around 9 million.
9 million.
So yeah, like 12, 13 right. million.
It's usually they're twice the size of a rookie class. So yeah. And the rookie class usually is about $5.5 million.
And then you want to have your emergency funds, and will the Dolphins transfer some over next year, even though they have like a buttload of money next year? Do you see them going after any type of veteran post June 1st? Now, Sullivan said no, but he also said there'll be competition in the quarterback room. So, you know, he is a GM. So
yeah, there will be this for the number 2 and 3 draft.
Exactly. you know, I could see them, you know, penny pinching like they did at the start of free agency, and any vet that wants to come on the team for like 1-2 million, I could definitely see that. Now, you know, you got the Juwan Jennings name that's being thrown out there. I doubt that'll happen. But you know, there's still safeties out there if they still don't feel comfortable with that. There's still pass rushers out there that could be very good.
You know,
like AJ Espinosa, who they met with, who was going to sign a 1-year, $5 million contract with the Browns, failed his physical. So could they knock that down, being like, look, you failed your physical, we'll sign you for a 1-year, $3 million.
There you go.
come on in, help us out, get after the quarterback. So, you know, starting with Omar, is there any names or do you see them, you know, obviously they're not going to go hog wild after June 1st, but could you see them, you know, grabbing a few guys? Because, you know, after June 1st, you'll have OTAs. I think we'll have like, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 OTAs. So you get a good feel of what you have. Could you see them going out grabbing some vets?
Absolutely. I remember last year at the start of training camp, Chris Greer like added 12 players during training camp, 12 veteran players, whether it was injuries or not, or you just looking at the position. What poop are?
No, I was there was one offensive tackle, and then he would get hurt, go on IR, sign another.
That did happen too. Yeah. They had like four offensive tackles they signed. They got hurt that week. Yeah. To me, the receiver room is the blind leading the blind. That never makes me comfortable. Safety room is the blind leading the blind.
Well, Jennings.
Who?
Receivers Jennings, weren't they interested in Juwan Jennings?
Also, I want to point out that if you look at Green Bay's receivers outside of the Davante Adams era, there's always been a diversity of balls spread out. Everybody plays a role.
Yep.
Everybody contributes and fills their role. Like right now, I'm not sure anybody can name who they put and say, this is going to be the leading receiver for the Green Bay Packers. And I think we're probably going to do the same thing.
Which is not a horrible thing. It's, their passing game has been pretty good. And you're absolutely right. Since Davante Adams, it's like really, really spread out. And no, I don't see them adding a wide receiver. You were really going to sign another wide receiver after you signed Tolbert and Atwell and you drafted three wide receivers? Like really overkill much? And then like if you sign 100% Tyreek Hill, maybe because he makes it like a major difference, but you're not going to sign another guy just for the sake of signing another guy. Safety, a little bit older than the pattern, but for nostalgia's sake, and since he's a veteran who would bring veteran presence to the secondary, Rayshon Jenkins maybe. As I'm looking at the list here, Jordan Poyman. I'm joking. I'm not
Don't you dare.
Bad joke. Bad. The list is like
slim pickings.
Very, very, very
slim. I need an edge setter, man. Because if you don't set the edge, you are looking at a 3-win team. Nobody, you're never going to pass rush if you can't set the edge. You're never going to get off the field if you can't set the edge.
There's some names out there: Hassan Reddick, Joey Bosa.
Reddick's not an edge setter.
Jadeveon Clowney. But are they going to go older? Or are they in them? They want to see the young guys. So it's like they won't go after Jadeveon Clowney or Joey Bosa or Von Miller, Derek Barnett. Like there's no real young, hungry pass rusher out there.
Yeah, that's it.
They don't need a pass rusher, they got plenty of those.
Mm.
Not good.
Correct. They don't have any size at the edge position. Barely.
They have no size at the edge position. None. And which makes me think that Sealer's going to be playing end. Which, okay. And I would like to say again, if we're going to add a veteran and we're going to give $4 million, let that veteran be Christian Wilkins. That's a good name too. Calais Campbell. Mm. That's a good name. But Calais is not – I don't know what Calais made last year. I can't remember. Calais would help a lot of things here.
Mm. He got like 7 or something like that.
But why would he want to?
Well, yeah, I don't know. Because he's addicted to playing.
Man, you're just
going to tell me there's not a good addiction out there who can use him?
6. Yeah. He made 6 last year.
He made 6?
Yeah, that's a good addiction to have, playing football.
You threw that name out there, and that was just beautiful. Like, if we can get Christian Wilkins back in the building, obviously the situation getting us a bargain on it, bringing him back to Miami, and then you go grab an Espinosa, that'll be huge because we got to take some pressure off of Kenneth Grant because we just don't know how that's going to work out. And they need another guy in that room just in case because that can fold everything.
They got
two. I mean, a lot is – Yeah, but a lot is riding on Kenneth. And what other two guys outside
not,
of season?
No, it's not. Nothing's riding on Kenneth. Who's banking on Kenneth?
Are you kidding? You have to. What are you, you're Jordan saying you Phillips got other stuff in the room.
Last year.
Like, okay, well, let's see if he earned that same respect from his more current
impactful
staff.
Plays.
And I agree.
I think you're missing also that this regime didn't draft Kenneth Grant, so you know they don't. Yeah, have
but, you have a but it's still a first round pick with a financial implication. You like he's gonna be given the inside track. You think they just gonna biggers it up and be like Kenneth, man, he better than you. Just sit down.
They might.
Yes.
That'll be a good sign.
I want them to just have an open competition, mm-hmm. open and fair competition. And nobody believes in that in the NFL. But don't talk about it, be about it. And I want to see Zeke Biggers get a legit fair competition to take on Kenneth Grant. Just me.
No, I agree. But I'm just – that's a test for the current regime. Are they going to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if they really about that. Best player plays.
Before we get to donations, will we see that? You guys can't tell us anything, obviously. So when we get to camp, you know, we can't be picking Allen and Omar's brain because they can't tell us that. But will you start to see that, like, legit competition in OTAs, or does that really start in training camp?
Pads on.
So OTAs is more just... Let's get the playbook on the field type situation.
OTAs is window dressing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Some players throw six interceptions in OTAs.
It's a taste of football for the fans, which is nice.
TD's trying to throw in some little very
subtle. Yeah, I heard it. I'm ignoring it.
While we're talking.
You can't talk about Patrick Mahomes like that, man. He's not even on our team. I don't know why you're so obsessed with him throwing
don't three do that, Doug. Do not do that. Do not do that. You can make another analogy, but not that one. Okay.
Did he not throw six interceptions at camp his rookie year? That's what I'm saying, you know.
Patrick Mahomes threw six picks.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, that was defense training. You know, hey, put it up for him and let's see who can catch it. That's all it was.
Oh, Poupard, you remember that rainy day in Davie?
Yep.
Rainy day. There was a rainy day in Davie in OTAs where Tua was practicing. Was it four?
Four picks.
Four picks. And the Dolphins, and we were watching, and the Dolphins literally went into panic mode because we're all like, holy crap, this kid is struggling.
that was the moment they could have got out, but they didn't.
But that might have been the moment that Flores was like, no, can't do it, won't do it.
That's when he started talking to him. Like you shouldn't talk to people, you know. That's when it kicked in. He said the Dolphins lineup reminds him of the '90s squad.
That was his team all of last year too. Brett, you're very consistent. We'll say that.
I'm always yawning. Says as someone who is not an expert in the technique of offensive line position, what benefit would there be to having someone playing guard for 1 year then moving to tackle?
None. Getting his feet wet and playing
in
a position where he's not on an island.
That's a benefit. Different
things, yeah. Because they did it with, like you were saying, Tunsil, because we have Brandon Albert. So, correct. You know.
They didn't have Brandon Albert. Tunsil,
but it was more Tunsil learning from Brandon Albert, whereas I don't want to knock Patrick Paul, but it's like, is Patrick Paul that type of tackle that Proctor can learn from?
Why not? I mean, what has Patrick Paul done wrong?
Dude, you can learn sitting behind a guy or playing opposite him. You don't have to play right next to him.
No. I got to get those reps. You got to get those reps. He's going to learn about power or anchoring down against power, which he should be able to do because he's the biggest human being out there. And the funny thing is I watched his film and I saw John Jerry. I really did see John Jerry. But, you know, my thing is, You're taking away some athleticism for when you move, or there's no pulling with him. I know they got pictures of him running the ball and doing all that cute stuff, but do we really see him pulling? Do we really see 6'7", 350 pounds on the move?
As long as he's moving. As long as he's moving, Omar. If he has the athletic build though. I know the weight says no, but he moves it. That's the key. He can, I think he can get around that, that corner and come downhill.
We'll see. Shout out to Chris, new member. Brian said Omar doesn't get enough credit for his take that Miami's 100% a town full of distractions, the casino, strip clubs, boats, parties, women's, etc. Yeah.
Tootsies.
Yeah. Boo family said
mile 0.2 down the street from the Dolphins facility.
He said
he's like the closest establishment to the Dolphins facility.
Post game press conference.
The Foo family said, super random favorite Kiko Alonso moment. We need more linebackers like him. My favorite one that impacted the game was Chargers. That Chargers pick six that won the game. My favorite that made me laugh is when he went to the Ravens sideline.
He was concussed. Really? That made you laugh?
Yeah.
That was funny though.
You're it was funny because he like jot over there and he was like standing there and they're like, what are you doing? Get on the other side, man.
The Chargers thing was pretty cool too, because he did the Conor McGregor strut after he scored the touchdown. He had to...
I like the Ravens game when he hit Flacco. Like, thank I can't you. Think of
anything. Yeah. I think it was legal. It was legal.
It was
legal. Yeah, it was legal.
Yeah,
sure. Nah, you can't get a slide. Like
he saw Kiko's helmet here, and he was like, "I got to slide." Like it was like, it's a little late now, man. You should have slid a well long ago.
I remember being in the locker room, and everybody's coming for Kiko, and I think the crowd like got on him and really was really aggressive with him. Did he get kicked out of that game?
Yeah,
I'm
sure.
And so when we talked to him, man, was he really defensive and nervous, and he didn't know what was going to happen. But it's true. And that was back in the day when you could actually hit quarterbacks. Mm. You can't hit a quarterback now. You
can't tap your helmet anymore.
Yeah. You can't hit tough. A quarterback like that.
Yeah. Glenn said, all you have to do is close down Krispy Kreme in South Florida. Proctor will be good. Is there a Krispy Kreme in Florida?
Yep. Mm.
Yeah, all over.
I love me a Krispy Kreme.
I'm going to see 3rd Street, North Miami.
But there's also one on Miami Gardens Boulevard. So all they have to do is just drive straight up Miami Gardens Boulevard, which is the street that they're on.
Man, don't give them directions, man.
hey, let's hope he doesn't live in Aventura, because then it's on his way home.
Aventura got enough injuries.
Said original starting Hogs 1982. Joe Jacob, left tackle 6'7" 305. Russ Grimm, left guard 6'3" 229. Jeff Bostic, center 6'2" 268. Mark May, right guard 6'6" 295. And George Starks, right tackle 6'5" 270. And we think they were huge. May was tall.
Yeah, also by the way, Kiko Alonso was not tossed out in that ball game.
Okay.
It would have been now, and he would have been suspended for like 3 games.
Yep.
It's game over. Said, how do you complain about cold weather than complain about big O line? He can run circles around all 4 of you. We need your 40 history, Omar.
Know your 40 history, Omar.
I'm a 5'1" guy. I have run it.
Yeah. I haven't run a 40 in forever.
Man, I run a 4'4" squared.
And I'll just say I'm a lot faster than I look.
I used to be able to do 12 reps of 225. I would never do that again, ever, because it literally doing bench pressing like that tears your rotator cuff. Did y'all see the Drew Rosenhaus picture of him doing 225 sets? The video?
Nope.
No.
Oh, it's thoroughly impressive, and I think Drew got it up like 20 times. But Drew works out, and he showed off. Like, I was very impressed. Drew, it was like, if you haven't looked, find it on Twitter. Drew Rosenhaus does 225 pounds. Is impressive.
Charles said, if the plan was to start Proctor at left guard, why just not draft Vega, the best guard and potentially the best lineman in the draft?
Because it's a temporary plan. And they plan on making him play tackle.
I just saw your tweet. On your draft day tweet, like 6 days later, it came up on my. It came
Batman
up.
Batman crying in the rain.
Yeah, of when Doug posted that about the Ravens getting Vega, Obviously, on draft night, that was his initial reaction, and I guess it's taken off on Twitter. It's like him as Batman sitting crying in the rain. It was, I was like, that and then the pass rusher from Missouri, the Ravens just.
Every time. It's like, okay, they either jump in front of us and take who I want, or we don't take that person. And then the Ravens are like, you don't want him, we'll take him. Yes. And when we took Proctor, I was like, oh, again, we talked about this the day after the draft. I was like, you know, I didn't hate the pick, but at the same time, I'm like, you had Bane and you had Vega there. I'm like, And then when the Ravens took him, they showed the clip of him jumping over the guardrail to help the equipment boy push his cart up. And I was like, why are you going to show me this? Like, like, come on, man. So, yeah, I loved Vega. Vega was one of my guys, and we traded down. I said, too, if we're going to get Vega, you could trade down and take him. And the Dolphins traded down in one spot, but they picked up picks, and I'm like, oh, you could take Vega now. And they're like, no, we like Proctor. Proctor was always the pick. Devin said this Taft kid reminds me of undersized Ethan Bonner.
No,
Bonner can run, and Taft's not
Bonner. Running. Bonner can not only can Bonner run. Bonner is sculpted. Like Bonner's got height. He's built, and Bonner's probably Poopar could testify to this. Bonner's probably the cornerback, the only cornerback I've ever seen outside of Xavier Howard who can stay with Tyreek Hill 101. Now, why that hasn't translated to him playing more, contributing, what?
When did you see that?
His rookie camp, which is when I first started noticing him. And there's this white kid running with Tyreek Hill. And
really? Okay.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Okay. He can run with Tyreek. And then year two, they'd be practicing for 40 minutes. They'd be doing special teams drills. And then Tyreek would show up during 7-on-7s or 11-on-11s out fresh from the facility and then go roast Bonner on a play and be like, okay, practice is over for me. Mm-hmm. I remember those two, but he can run with Tyreek. Bonner is legit fast. They have him as one of the five fastest players. Yeah. Five, like that's the one thing. He's got legit speed. End zone interception last year and the forced fumble against Washington that produced the play. Now, I'm not a huge Ethan Bonner fan, but he could play. He can move. He's a legit athlete.
Sure.
Charlie said, Mike McDaniel going to do some nasty things with Brennan Thomas. How different do you think his offense will look with the Chargers? I think Mike McDaniel's going to do some nice things with the Chargers, being that he can just now focus on the offense and not have to focus on anything else.
He's going to focus on the pass game.
But at the end of the day, you know, you only can go as far as your quarterback can take you. So,
well, he got one now.
I'm not worried about what McDaniel does. He's with the Chargers now.
We'll see. Yeah. Nice political answer. Yeah.
The Chargers put out a picture of his draft day wardrobe, draft day outfit. I'm just like,
you approved, right?
When have you seen an offensive coordinator get so polarized? Like, he's more polarized than Harbaugh is.
Yeah.
Because anybody who can fool audiences in thinking that a certain somebody was great, they worked it.
If you thought that certain somebody was great
job bringing an offense to Miami with limited.
What is deeper than rose colored glasses on? If you think that certain somebody was great, you got red glasses on. If you think that certain somebody
people thought he was great after 2020,
somebody did statistically
things
that Malik Willis might never do.
Man, stop, Omar.
I'm just telling you the truth. Do we think Malik Willis will give us three seasons of 100 passer rated?
Given Tyreek and Jim Waddle.
Do we think that Malik Willis will lead the NFL in passing yards for 1 year?
Give him the same kind of talent. Again, this is what we're talking about with quarterbacks. Put another quarterback in the same situation that previous quarterback had, and what would they have done in comparison? Okay, you can't. Don't tell me that he wasn't helped by having Tyreek and Waddle and Achan and Mostert and a good offensive line in 2023.
True fan said, "Hang in there, Poop and Omar. Poop, you're the man. Poop, is it really 140 million cap space it's next year?
Like that. It's a
it's pretty high. We took a lot on the chin this year.
All right. That was
it's
right.
Not going to be 140 when they start adding in those rookie salaries. It's going to be less.
But still a lot.
It's still like a ridiculous amount. It's right now they stand at, but they don't have a ton of players signed, but right now it stands at 148. By the time they get
the rookies, it'll be 148.
This is with 34 players on the roster. So, and they'll count the top 51. So,
and you know, but you know, it's funny because I saw that. Right. And I saw how much money the Dolphins had, 148. But then I saw next year it's 34 players on the roster. And I was like, oh, all right. Well, and then I looked at the rest of the NFL and I'm like, oh, because we have 34 on the roster. You have the Giants at 95 million, but they only have 24 on the roster. And it's like the Dolphins are actually in a good situation when it comes to players on their roster because. Everyone, like the Cardinals, 155, number one. They only have 29 players on the roster. Falcons, 148, 26 players on the roster. So it's like they're actually in a really good spot because they have, I think, top 10 players on their roster. So they still going to have.
They ate so much for this year, which was the right move. Just eat it all.
And this, I still don't think
that they're going to eat it next year too. But
yeah, but not as much.
Yeah, the 47, they'll have 47 players when you count the 13 rookies that are going to make the team and more than likely either be on practice IR or whatever, whatnot. So that's 47. That's not a bad number. That's not really not a bad number at all.
And by the way, they're already at 56.7 million of dead space for next year with just Tua and Bradley Chubb.
Now, is that already taken off? Is that the 140 counting towards the 140?
Believe so. Yeah,
you're on over the cap.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, it's already factored.
Okay. Yeah. Idleman said UDFA's to sign Conga, Rieger, Moss, Moore, maybe Gronowski as quarterback three.
I mean, they're already going to be. Yeah. But they're not having five UDFA's make the team. Sorry, they're not going to have. I mean,
Devin said I think the Dolphins add AJ Espinoza.
You sure?
Because
they're not getting five UDFAs to make the roster. Sorry.
How many UDFAs made it Flores' first year?
The initial 53, I think four maybe or five. They also didn't have 13. Well, no, in 2019, they had five draft picks. They didn't have 13. Okay. That's
good. David said, I think the Dolphins had AJ Epineza because the edge position is a glaring hole. Yeah, like I said, he failed his physical at 1 year, $5 million. So I wouldn't be surprised.
Who was he signing that 1 year, $5 million with?
Browns.
But the question is, if the Browns failed him on the physical, why wouldn't the Dolphins fail him on the physical too?
Do you think he got better from March till now? Like, what was the failed physical? That's what I think.
Neck injury?
I think it was a neck injury or concussion, one of those two.
Scorched Earth said, what are your thoughts on Louisville receiver redrafted? By the way, Omar, tell Renzo, I said, what's up? Duval. Or should I say it like, Duval?
That's my thoughts on the Louisville wide receiver.
It's so funny, too, because we made fun of him for that. But then he actually ended up having a really good season with the Jaguars. So it was like...
He's not a tiny dude.
Who?
The Jacksonville coach. And in regards to Chris Bell, 4.5 months into rehabbing the ACL, by the time we start kicking off the season, it's 9 months. Hopefully they don't push him. Hopefully they don't rush him.
Yeah.
They released, obviously, for promotion purposes, his agents and stuff, but they released him training and he's running. Now obviously he's not cutting and it's a whole different world, but
don't believe that. I used to train on that same machine.
50 miles.
I know, but to still see him moving the knee like that post the surgery is promising, is what I'm saying.
They're running it 4 months. It's straight line. He's a receiver. He's got a cut. Change of direction is how you evaluate it.
Yeah, run that speed and make that move, and then we talking.
And 18 miles an hour is not very impressive, to be honest.
Because Omar did 50. I'm sorry.
I did 16, sir.
Oh, sorry, 16. Okay, see,
I actually have video of that. That was a very long time ago, and probably was in the best shape of my life then. But yeah, 16 is not. It's okay. Like a professional athlete, a wide receiver should be in the 20s. Should be. I believe Brandon Marshall used to run 24 miles an hour.
I was at 21 when I did it. So
yeah.
Democrat and Chronicle reports it may be related to a neck issue that previously appeared on the Bills injury report in January 2026. Wow. It's about
Epinesa. Initially repaired on the injury report in January of 2026. That mm-hmm. would be at the very beginning of the year after the season.
Yes. No, not after the season, before their playoff game. There's no injury report after their playoff. Okay.
Jack Paul said, Omar, what would you do if Proctor was running at you because he got mad with all the jokes?
What jokes do I make about Proctor? I've had Jordan Phillips after me. Proctor's a small guy compared to Jordan Phillips.
Wow.
Jiffy said, what do you guys think the wide receiver room will be? We talked about it before, if you want to rewind, but you know,
the room
competition. I think that room is going to have the most competition. That and the cornerback room are going to have the most competition.
Yeah, I think
inside
so.
Linebacker is pretty. It's pretty deep.
Yeah.
Well, to start.
Yeah, but dude, wide receiver position is going to be Malik Washington. It's going to be Caleb Douglas. It's going to be Kevin Coleman Jr., Jalen Tolbert, Tutu Atwell. That's five right there. I think he's saying
who the starters are going to be.
No, that's what there was the question. What do you guys think the wide receiver room will be? That's five there. Chris Bell, I'm going to guess, probably starts the season on PUP. That means, are they going to carry six? If they carry six, who's your sixth?
Maybe? Weese, Coleman. I mean, not Coleman. Weese and the Malik Washington, Taj Washington.
I think we would be personally.
Taj Washington has some skill.
MJ Strange wants us to invite Big O on the show.
That's a no for me.
Let me stop. We're full. We could have Teron Armstead on the show. Where are we gonna put him?
Mm-hmm.
Right in that little box in the middle.
Yeah, I was gonna say right in that little circle.
Could we do that? Can we create a fifth spot? Like
you can. It would. Our layout, we'd have to get rid of this thing over here, and it would just be a lot. And
whole different makeup,
asking questions, and it's a lot. You can't really do four. You'd have to, one of us would have to bow out.
Who heard Teron's praise of Proctor? And
I texted
Teron's guy trains him, so
Teron's guy.
Yeah, mastermind. He's a very
Duke Mayweather.
He's gonna be training there.
It's pretty good. I think he's been training there.
Yeah, which I'm happy about.
Yeah,
but
and so is Patrick. Patrick Paul's trained there too. If you come out of mastermind, you get a stamp of approval from Duke Mayweather. You're pretty.
I like that.
You're pretty solid.
And he's gonna train in Miami.
Mm-hmm. No,
I hope so.
I have no idea what. Yeah.
But we're going to get out of here. Enjoy. Thank you guys so much. We have 1,100 in here. We keep growing, man. Last time we were live, we had 13,000, roughly 100. Now we're over 13,200. You guys are hitting that subscribe button, hitting that like button. We greatly appreciate you. Go check out Omar Kelly and the Miami Herald, Alan Poupart, Miami Dolphins on SI, TD Fins Talk, youtube.com/TD Fins Talk, and Roundtable Sports. You can check me out, youtube.com/Doug the Durong. We will see you Friday at the same time talking more Miami Dolphins football. But we are out. Peace.